You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Good evening. We would like to start with a prayer. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Amen.
Amen. So welcome, dear listeners, to our monthly program. To all the listeners in Canada and around the world, and especially those at All Saints Parish, we thank you so much for your support and prayers.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. So this evening's intentions are many. We include your intentions, so, you know, you can mention them. As we do ours, we will pray for the sick, the suffering, especially those dealing with the COVID virus, for all those who have passed away, for the frontline workers, and we pray for the people in Beirut that suffered that
massive explosion.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, we pray for them and all those in the Middle East. That they could, you know, get some sense of peace and get their lives back in order. So, this evening's show, we will be talking about...
Yeah, so we've decided to focus this evening's show on how to overcome our challenges that we face today. By following the example of Jesus, by being Christian, and by praying to God. And so what are some of the challenges that we are currently facing? Well, you know, what's going on right now? Is
the pandemic with the virus, right? Some people don't believe it's happening. Well, I got news for you. It's real and it's happening, right? And the best thing we can do is, you know, wash your hands, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart. And, you know, we have to work together.
That's right. So everything seems...
And stay healthy, of course.
Yeah. And everything seems to be not normal.
Yeah.
And, you know, work-wise, there's some people working at home. There's some people that are out of work. There's some people that are looking for work. There's some people that are still going to work, but they're going in a different way. They have to wear their masks. They have to have, you know, all the PPEs. Some are even working overtime.
Yeah.
So there's lots going on. And what this all causes is a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. There's a fear of unknown, you know, how long will this last?
The fear of change.
Yeah.
You know, we're knocked out of our comfort zone.
Yeah. And so there's lots of conflict going on, temptations as always. We're robbed of our joy because, you know, we can't do the usual things that we do in the summertime, like, you know, going to concerts, going to, you know, games, going to the C&E. So we've been robbed of our joy. And there's these joy thieves out there, right?
It's a reset. We have to realize, you know, it's here.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to share with you the power hour.
Yes.
And how we can resolve
all of this going on.
It's basically as the statement says, what would Jesus do? So we're going to follow his path and his example.
Yes, and have that. So it's all about turning to God and Jesus, because Jesus is life-giving. He has the wisdom. He has the he's the perfect character, you know, the courage. We can look to him as an example. And yeah. as you know, the prayer at the beginning said, whoever has God lacks nothing, and God alone suffices. So if we focus on God, we'll get through anything.
Yeah, like St. Augustine said, my heart is restless until it rests in you. And we could just say, well, that's the show, right? A simple thing like that.
Amen.
We turn to so many things in these unique and challenging new days that we sometimes forget to include God in our life. And that's what we hope to do, is share with you many affirmations, quotes, Bible reflections in this power hour of what would basically Jesus do. Right. So.
Right. And so let's begin with, what are some healthy ways to deal with stress as a Christian?
Well, the first thing is to recognize the problem or the situation. And as mentioned before, with the COVID, we have to realize that it's really happening. Mm-hmm. There's no use in denying it or just getting all upset and all. And of course, we're going to be upset, but it's here. This is the issue, right? Then we need to give yourself a break and to get help, right? Stop beating yourself up. You know, you're not alone, right? The best part about being a Christian Catholic is you're never alone with Jesus, right? And that's, say, well, why are you Catholic? Why are you Christian? What do you believe in this? I said, listen, with Jesus, you're never alone.
That's right. So we get the help by turning it over to Jesus and to God. And how do we turn it over? Well, in prayer.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, there's different types of prayers that we can do. We can just pray, you know, in our own way, silently. Try to, well, the church isn't really open, but
just for mass.
Yeah, just for mass. But there, you know, there's adoration. But create maybe your own little prayer table or spot in the house to make space and pray. Yeah.
So, example of prayer is, you know, you can do the rosary, you can do a morning prayer, you can do the St. Michael prayer, you can do Lectio Divina, right? And speaking of Lectio Divina, we need to meditate on the Word of God, because the Bible is filled with beautiful words and promises of God. And meditating on these words of assurance can dispel our worry, doubt, and fear. Okay? So we have a book, and this book is called the Bible.
Right? Yes.
So we need to read it every day.
We need to crack it open.
Yeah, crack it open and read it. Mm-hmm. And when we read it, we can spend time giving thanks and praise, right? I think the first thing we should do in the morning is wake up and say, Alleluia, right?
Good morning,
Good
God.
Good morning, God. What we do at work every day is a theme day. And the theme day for our Mondays are Alleluia. And the reason being, it's a new work week. So by the time we get to the end of the work week on Friday, we say Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? But we start with giving him love and praise.
Yes. And that way we don't focus on what we don't have, but be thankful for what we do have.
What we do have. The glass is half full.
Amen to that. And so here are some, how about looking at some Bible passages that speak to the victory over anxiety and fear that we're facing these days? What are some Bible passages?
So we'll read them. We won't, you know, there's just so many. We'll just read them about two or three, and then we'll share, you know, some insight. So, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And the beauty is, a lot of these passages are in the Old and the New Testament, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray, because Jesus is there. peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give to you. But now, this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. So let's take a moment now and, you know, ask ourselves, what are we fearful of? Are we fearful of change? Are we fearful of our job? Are we fearful, of course, of this virus? I think we all are, mm-hmm. because we can't see. We can't see it. You know, it's like when you're walking across the street, if you see a car, you can see it. So you stop, you move, and you wait till they go by. But this virus, it could be anywhere. So we're going to share with you a few more quotes to overcome fear and anxiety and have victory.
Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, and what you will wear. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous
go too far away from them.
Okay. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And this was just in one of the recent Gospels that we attended Mass. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet and be still.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. So that's powerful. Yeah, he's going to always be there right by your side to fight. Yeah,
it said that there's many parts in the Bible says, do not be fearful. Do not worry. I think it's mentioned 365 times. And I think that's not a fluke. I think that was done on purpose so that there's, don't worry. Don't be anxious for every day of the week. So as I mentioned before, we need to meditate on the Word of God. So many of us, I think all of us should have a Bible. Get the Bible. Read it. You don't need to read everything. Maybe pick a small, you start with the Old Testament, you could start with the New. But just start, even if you read one page a day, because these are the divine words of God, and they will bring healing and victory over these days of anxiety and fear. And I like this one, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you. And with you, with joy. So there's many wondrous quotes about victory, right? Victory is a choice. And sometimes, especially in days like today, we feel desperate through desolation. St. Ignatius says there will be desolation and consolation. And we spoke about this in our July show. St. Ignatius you know, he said our lives will be filled with the hills and the valleys, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But just remember that
ups and downs all the time.
Tomorrow's a new day. Jesus is with us on our side. Keep it simple and know, knowing that he is with us. You know, if God is for us, who can be against? So, this was, very moving, right? And like doing all this research, we just had so many, we have so many wonderful things to say that we can't say them all. But, the main thing is to choose Jesus, mm-hmm. and know that.
And to put all your trust in God, that, in Jesus.
That's another powerful mm-hmm. word, right? We will get through this.
Yeah.
How long it'll take, no one knows.
Yeah.
But every day we wake up, right? We stay hopeful, faithful, and we trust.
Yeah, and we'll get through it.
And we will get through it.
With God's help.
So now, moving.
So let's, move on to from anxiety and fear. Let's look at conflict and what are some ways to handle conflict biblically?
The first thing we can do is nothing. Just stop and breathe. Take a break. Do not get overwhelmed. We need to exhibit self-control. Now that we stopped, what do we do?
We can then pray. So look at the situation that you're in and think, how would, Jesus handle this?
Well, yeah, what would be the example he would do?
And so then also ask, what is the issue worth, or is the issue worth pressing?
And what is the real issue?
Yeah, what is the real issue?
When there's conflict, sometimes people dump other issues on what's happening, especially now. There's so much, with this anxiety, people, they take stuff from one part of their life, let's say their home life, and they bring it to work. So, be aware of that.
So is it really worth your time and effort, the conflict?
Yeah.
Then you can evaluate your own attitude, strengths, and weaknesses.
Matthew 7:5 says, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye, right? And this is what Jesus said. Before we fix someone else's problems, right?
Maybe we should look at our own.
Our own and, go from there.
Next step we could is follow scriptural principles.
Like the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, very powerful, powerful.
So look to God's direction for handling how you can resolve the conflict.
Yeah, and try to avoid, fighting and backbiting, and we need to communicate, right? Once we know these scriptural principles, we're empowered and we're, courageous to deal with the problem.
Yeah, so attack the problem and don't attack the person.
So, and in talking to the person, we ask for clarification, right? And maybe it's not what we're thinking or as bad as we thought it would be.
Then we could also discover together things on which we agree, not disagree. Yeah,
that's important. And then, we make it happen. We take the time to make it happen. And another, important thing is time. Like things that are broken, they just don't get fixed in an hour. Sometimes it takes weeks, like a relationship, a friendship, 10, 15 year relationship can be broken over one little fight. And if the relationship is strong, it will survive. But if it's not the strongest, it might take a little bit of time. So these are some things we can do because, we're going through so much, right? And we're just really so, are we anxious? Are we, we're just feeling
stressed.
A lot of, stress, pressure.
Pressured.
And, and we'll always feel stressed, but it's how we deal with it, right?
Yeah.
Because, if there's no stress or pressure in the pipes, the water doesn't flow through and we can't get a glass of water. We can't take a shower. So, let's deal with it the right way.
And with the stress and anxiety may come a lot of temptations.
Yeah, temptations to
right? To do things that we shouldn't be doing.
Well, to overspend, buy things, instant gratification.
To eat.
Right? Yeah.
To drink.
Right.
So
some of the things Jesus taught, he said he would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
So these are some of his wisdoms to overcome temptation.
Especially in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what is bugging us. What is our enemy? What is the challenge, right? So we don't overstep our boundaries. And, it's tempting to jump all over, someone we don't like or put something on Twitter or Facebook and social media. So be careful, you know, what you type in, because that stuff lasts forever, right?
Another wise thing from Jesus is to take preventative action. So if you know certain situations will bring you into temptation, then try to avoid them. Take the preventative action, right?
Know, continue to read the scripture, right? When in doubt, look in the Bible, right? To some scriptural readings that talk about doubt, right? And then the word of God is also called the word or the sword of the spirit. It is the defender of our faith. There's many Bible quotes that, you know, whatever issue we're having, the answer is in the Bible. And as mentioned, you know, what this whole show is about is, you know, what Jesus did, you know, especially, you know, in his whole lifetime, he forgave a lot of people. You know, Jesus came to heal the sick and the suffering, right?
Yeah, how we can follow his example.
And how many people he converted, right? So,
And it's also important to rest, to you know, with all that's going on, in order to rest. Because we're more susceptible to temptation when we're really tired.
That's when the devil jumps in.
Yeah.
And especially ever more so when Jesus was in the 40 days in the desert, right? And that's when the devil tempted him.
Yeah.
When he was tired and exhausted, right? But, you know, and throughout the Bible or the New Testament, we also read where Jesus went to the wilderness and the mountains,
right,
to pray.
Yes.
But not only pray, to rest.
Yes.
Right.
So rest is very important to our spirituality. So get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this
and
is...
Ask God for that extra strength to resist temptation. Yeah.
And, you know, in doing so, when we turn to Jesus, we look what he did, how he did the miracles, right? The miracle of Lazarus, the miracle of changing the water into wine, right? He did, you know, he walked on water. He rebuked the wind. He made the blind see, right? Now, we don't have those powers.
No.
But if we believe and we show up, right, and like Marianne just said, we trust in the Lord, we just turn it over to him, right? Because we can't fix all our problems.
No.
You know, we think we can, but we can't.
Yeah.
We need the help of the Lord. And he,
absolutely.
And he will guide us. So.
So,
a big issue nowadays is the joy thief.
Yeah. Right? And so, yeah, so we, yeah, all that's going on, it can lead us to be really, you know, be, you know, to have doom and gloom and, you know, be a void of our joy. So what are some actions that we can take to overcome the joy thieves? Well, by putting God at the center.
Putting God at the center.
Or Jesus,
so yeah. So we will state some of the problems, like comparison, right? When we had the Pharisee and the tax collector both praying, and they were, you know, the Pharisee was comparing himself that he was better than the tax collector. So that's one thing we shouldn't do. We shouldn't compare. Because the tax collector was humble and he asked for God's mercy, right? So that's one thing we can ask for, is mercy. We shouldn't complain. We should be grateful, right? Jesus taught us the Beatitudes, right? Jealousy and insecurity, right? A lot of people, for whatever reason, didn't like Jesus and they thought he was a threat to them. What did Jesus do? He continued to be assertive and do the will of God, healing and doing miracles amongst the people he was with, right? Sometimes we have a high expectation, right? Are we real? We should be real.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a bad attitude. Often maybe because we're just ignorant. And what can we do about it? Well, love.
Yeah, like even Jesus, when they brought him in front of Pilate, you know, they were, you know, saying bad things about him and guilty, guilty. But he didn't say anything. He still loved them, right? And so some other things that we can do to avoid the joy thief are to be smarter.
Always put Jesus at the center. Be content. Give things away. And be adventurous.
Yeah, because that's a big joy thief is when, you know, we feel that there's no future. Mm-hmm. And we need to
take risks.
Yeah, take risks. Or like Jesus said, you know, behold the child. We must, to enter the kingdom of God, we must become like a child that's adventurous. And I always remember Father Philip.
Yes.
He would always talk about the wonders of life and the adventures of life. But to be like that, you know, remember when we were younger, you know, as children, this is what, everything was amazing. Even like from a caterpillar turning into a butterfly.
Yeah, and be curious,
yeah,
right?
Curious.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's how you learn, is through the curiosity.
And so we're going to share with you a couple of joy quotes, and then we'll take a break. So, rejoice in the Lord always, I say rejoice.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. From the book of Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may be abound in hope. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, we can go on and on and on. But so the hope of the righteous brings joy, right? My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you.
Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
So right now we're going to take a break, and then we'll come right back and we'll finish the rest of our show.
The voice that calmed the sea would call out calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So the next part of our show, we will be talking about the life-giving statements Jesus made, you know, giving examples of how Jesus was courageous and, you know, following his path. So the first one I'd like to share with you is, take heart, I have overcome the world.
These are, in fact, all passages from the Gospels, aren't they?
Yeah. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So he goes on to say, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know, many times we do a lot of things to sacrifice, and that's important. But I think showing mercy, compassion, and forgiveness is more important than sacrifice.
Ask and it will be given to you. That's from Matthew. So all we have to do is pray and ask God and it will be given.
We have to be patient too.
Yes. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. That's from Matthew's. And so, yeah, you just talked about forgiveness.
Yeah.
So
if the Son has set you free, you are truly free indeed. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So if we hand it all over to God, he can handle it, can't he?
Yeah, and like you said, trust, right? You think you have a hard, you had a hard day? Always remember when Jesus carried the cross, right? It's just a sliver of the pain that Jesus went through.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah, and that's...
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, St. Paul, right? It's just a reminder that we're not gods and we need his grace. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder that, the suffering is just a reminder that we need God's grace to get us through this, right? I love this one. You are the light of the world.
It reminds me of the theme of the World Youth Day back in 2002 here in Toronto.
You know,
right?
You could, you can have a dark, be outside in the dark, dark, dark in the middle of the night, and you can light a candle and you can see it like a mile away. But in the daylight, if you hold up like a black picture, you can't see it. Right. So the light is always more powerful than
definitely.
The dark. You know, another one I like is Jesus 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son so that those who believed in him would have eternal life. But we need to read chapter 3:17. And it talks about the light and the dark and where people chose the darkness over the light. And so we must always remember to choose the light. And that is from John 3:17.
And from John 15:5, we read, apart from me, you can do nothing.
So we need to really trust in him.
Yes.
You know, the greatest among you shall be your servant. And what the message here, Jesus is saying is to stay humble, right?
And from Matthew, we hear, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. How many times is it said in the Bible to not be afraid?
We mentioned it earlier, it's 365 times. And isn't it ironic? That's what the Saint Pope John Paul II started off with, is be not afraid.
He would say it often as well, didn't he? Wouldn't he?
And we should always listen to those words, right?
And because in these times, maybe we are a bit afraid, but if we always, remember to turn it over to God,
because
he's always with us.
Yeah, what is the opposite of love? Some people say hate, but I think it's fear, right? And we shouldn't be fearful. We should be all loving, just like Jesus was, right?
And from Revelation, we hear, I am coming soon. So we have to be ready.
And that's what the book of Revelation is. It's not about doom and gloom. It's a revelation that Jesus will be coming in his glory. So we need to be ready at any given moment because you do not know what tomorrow holds, right?
What are you, be ready for it. B-R-F-A?
Yeah, be ready for anything.
You always say that.
So Jesus went on to say, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know,
isn't that something?
He's talking about moving mountains, right? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, right? The smallest seed can do the greatest things.
God can do anything. God can do anything. But if you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you,
you shall be empowered, right? This is especially when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples in the holy room, right? And he goes on to say in the book of Acts, you will be my witnesses. Jesus, he had a contingency plan, right? He told them to go out and spread the good news of the gospel, right?
And so I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so powerful. There's another quote that says, do not be anxious about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink. And, you know, it's fair to say, you know, it's easy to say, don't be anxious. Okay. But the thing is, being anxious is an emotion. Mm-hmm. And as we spoke about it earlier, we need to say, okay, what's happening here? And what are the steps I can do to deal with it? You know, and we always go back to the point, you know, Jesus did this a lot. He retreated and he went and prayed in the wilderness. He prayed up in the mountains. He prayed in the desert, right? And I'm sure, you know, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. right? That night and on the Via Crucis, mm-hmm. I'm sure he was praying because, you know, a big thing is reason we, you know, a lot of us, we should be grateful for our parents that pray for us, right? And especially our mothers. And in this case, you know, we talk about Jesus praying on the way of the cross. Mother Mary was praying with him, mm-hmm. right? So that was a center point in praying because prayer is a dialogue.
Yeah.
Right? Between us and God. Mm-hmm. And so let's keep that dialogue open. So.
And so let's move on to looking at what are some leadership principles of Jesus that we can follow. Always, you know, looking to Jesus as an example. And he was a great leader. So what are some of his principles as a leader? One is, well, Jesus was willing to invest in people others would have dismissed. Who did he choose to start his church?
Well, sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes.
But it was Peter, right? And he wasn't a perfect person.
Yeah, a denier, right? Who would deny him many times,
yes.
right? He would choose the marginalized, the elder, the ones that society frowned upon, mm-hmm. right? So very interesting.
Yeah.
So that includes all of us. Don't dismiss that you can't be one of them that Jesus
right.
would have chosen.
That's true. Jesus released responsibility and ownership in a ministry. So consider how Jesus sent the disciples out on their own. So there was no micromanaging there happening, right?
He kept it simple and basic.
He gave them responsibility. Yeah,
a goal and a vision mm-hmm. and very simple, right? Jesus had a leadership succession plan. Jesus constantly reminded the disciples he wouldn't always be with them. Of course, he was still the leader, but he left others to take the ministry forward and spread around the world.
The good news.
And last time I checked, there's 2 billion Christians around the world. So from a group of 12, you know, then a group of 3,000 baptized on the day of Pentecost to like 2 billion.
Jesus practiced servant leadership better than anyone. And the most perfect example of the servant leadership was, you know, looking at Holy Thursday, the washing of the feet.
Yeah.
Right? Where he showed how he can serve by still being a leader, but how he can serve.
Yeah, how he humbled himself, mm-hmm. right? Jesus was focused on his vision. Right, regardless of the persecutions or distractions, the taunting, the temptation from the devil, Jesus kept on the mission of which God called him to complete.
Jesus handled distractions with grace. When the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched his garment, Jesus stopped to heal her. Even though headed to a different purpose, even though he was heading, you know, to a different purpose, he took the time to stop and heal her.
Yeah, because great was her faith, right?
Yeah.
Jesus was into self-development. Jesus constantly slipped away to spend time with God. At time, as we've been talking throughout this whole evening, is to pray, right? To turn it over to God, to have that communion with God, right? And one of the best prayers we can do is to listen, right? Be it in front of the Blessed Sacrament or even at home meditating and praying. We can listen to Taze, we can listen to classical music, and just that'll make us relaxed and just let God in. Okay, we can meditate.
Sounds beautiful.
We can relax and meditate. That's great. But we also need to let the Lord into our heart and mind.
Jesus was into leadership development and replacement. So he very purposefully prepared the disciples to take over the ministry. He pushed people beyond what they felt they were capable of doing.
Yeah, and that's the thing about being a Christian, right? Is that there is work that needs to be done to be a witness, right? You know, Jesus, he showed us the example, especially on the way of the cross, right? You want, you know, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow him, right?
So the same with us. Sometimes we think that we're not capable, right? In helping out at the church, maybe like, for example, being a Eucharistic minister, maybe we're not worthy, we feel. But no, we are very worthy. We are very capable. It's always with God's grace that we're able to do and help.
Yeah, so those are just some of the leadership principles that Jesus shared. And there's many, many. You know, like you can show hundreds, right? You know, and here's a bunch of words that we'd like to share with you as, you know, we start to wrap up the show.
And it describes the character and courage of Jesus.
So this is our favorite part of, my favorite part I like to share, and Mary Angela too, is the word power. And in this case, we'll just show... we'll share with you some of these just power words that encompassed what Jesus was all about. You know, he was always available to heal those that were sick. Jesus was committed. He was courageous. He was compassionate. He was diligent. He never gave up. He had a good physical strength about him. He was always encouraging. He had many friends. He had endurance, was forgiving, lots of gratitude.
He was very honest, humble, truthful, always truthful, full of integrity. Full of joy. He was always loyal, loving, merciful beyond mercy. Always optimistic and obedient to God's will and patient. We always, look to his patience in us and in everything. Full of peace. He always brings peace. He was, passionate, always passionate, full of purpose and reverence. He was, we talked a little bit about the servant leadership. He was a servant leader. He suffered a lot.
Yeah, because he loved us so much, right? And we need to always remember that he came and died for our sins, right? And we need... You know, it just didn't happen for nothing, right? He came because he loved us so much, right? And with that, we should love him back the same.
And he taught us many good things.
So the show just zoomed by, right? It's just incredible. Like once you start talking about Jesus, you can go on for such a long time. So, hope we were able to share with you many things. If you just came away with one thing about even the word encouragement or compassion, hope or trust.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the beginning and how what we hope we've shared with you is how we can overcome these times of challenges that we are facing today, all by, you know, following the example of Jesus and being a good Christian. And so I hope we were able to share a bit of all of this.
And so in closing, the most simplest ways we can share with you the seven gifts and the seven fruits of the Holy Spirit. The seven gifts would be knowledge, wisdom, understanding, reverence, piety, right? Courage. And some of the fruits would be
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
So thank you, dear friends, for listening. We pray for you. We love you. And we will be talking to you in our next show in September.
We wish you a good night and God bless. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus. And may the joy of Jesus be with you.
You have been listening to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.